Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked. Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
And we actually have two guests with us today, Brandy Ball and Cherie Morgan, and they both happen to read the same book, which is called Spinning Silver. But before we get into talking about the book, I really want to know who read the book first.
I read the book first.
How?
An advanced reader copy.
Nice.
Now, the better question, though, is who found out about the book first? Because Brandy found out about the book before I did. I just happened to get my paws on it before she got her copy.
And I didn't actually read the book at all. I did it audio.
So it's almost not even fair to ask who finished first.
Well, Cherie was actually started and done before I ever even started. So,
because this is a big, thick book. How many hours was the audiobook? Do you remember?
You know, I'm honestly not sure. I know it took me every bit of 3 weeks. Now, granted, that wasn't nonstop, thank God.
Yeah. You know, I always feel sad whenever I finish a book like that because it feels like you've been on this vacation. Or you've been living somewhere else for a while.
And you've then been you like to... on this epic adventure and then it's just over.
And with this book, that's particularly true, both the far away and the epic adventure, because you've got three protagonists who are in fact on epic adventures. And the setting is very, very Eastern European folklore based. You really are on a vacation far away for a long time.
So how did you like that setting?
It was definitely neat. I would definitely say that it wasn't something I have never had in a background setting before, because one of her past books that I absolutely loved was a very similar setting.
And what's the title of that book?
Uprooted, which I just reread this weekend because reading Spinning Silver made me want to reread mm-hmm. Uprooted.
And that was a librarian favorite when it came out, too.
Absolutely. Yes. There were several of us who were very, very happy with it.
I love the time they take on like the nature and the trees and the woods. It's like you just get a great visual and you want to be there. It's awesome.
So it sounds very atmospheric. How is the pacing?
It goes back and forth in the book. On this particular one, it starts out kind of strong and then it just seems to be really slow and then bam, it's very exciting and it pretty much ends that way.
And I will say a lot of this book had to do with winter, which was awesome to read in the Texas summer. It was lovely to go read a book full of ice.
I don't know. I was kind of cold the whole book.
Yeah, one of my worst car trips, I was reading Dune the entire time and I was just so thirsty at every stop.
So give us a little insight on why you chose this book. What were your favorite things about it?
I would say I chose it mainly because of Uprooted, and that definitely had me waiting and in anticipation for this book. There was so many different characters in it, and there was so many different like trials and challenges to their life. Mm-hmm. Although they were all like basically in the same town, they all went through so many things in their life to overcome.
Yeah, this book took place basically in one village, one city, and a sort of parallel country. I'm not quite sure how to describe what the Starak lands are. There was the daughter of a duke, the daughter of a local moneylender, the daughter of a very broke farmer. But none of these three ladies had an easy time of it, and all of them were strong in their own way. One challenge I had with Naomi Novik's characters, her protagonists are strong. They end up being strong, but sometimes they go through not so great situations on their way to finding their strength, and that can be hard to read a little bit.
So you mentioned that she had visited a lot of these themes in Uprooted. Do you need to read Uprooted first before you read this book?
Absolutely not.
Is there any crossover between the two?
It's simply that both have an Eastern European feel. I believe Naomi Novik has Polish heritage. So these are the folklore and tales that she grew up with.
Mm-hmm. So Brandy, since you listened to it, what did you think of the narrator?
You know, the narrator was actually great. It was a bit tricky on the audio side of things. Lisa Flanagan is amazing, and she was able to do a voice change for each character. Oh. The only thing that got tricky is because there was 6 first-person perspectives. Within the audio, there was never like a long gap between first-person changeovers. There was never like a little... So it was really tricky, especially in the beginning, to know what character you were on from one moment to a next. So you did a lot of backtracking once you realized, oh, I'm on this character now, so you didn't miss out on anything.
Not even to mention if you like left the car mid-chapter and came back and you're like, where was I?
Exactly. And it was definitely tricky to figure out which one you were on at the moment. She did do, like I said, voice changes. It was just tough for her to do so many voice changes for 4 women and 2 different guys, so it was very slight to really, for that to help a lot. But I enjoyed it.
This is super mean, but how was her man voice?
It wasn't bad. It sounds similar to the rest. I mean, yeah. She didn't go too far over to try to sound manly. She really didn't. And I think with the only man that she was, because the other one was a young boy, I think she was only a couple of times throughout the book it was in his perspective.
Okay.
And she did more of like a whispering growl because he was like a demon.
Oh, okay. So give us a little insight on these six characters you were talking about and kind of the parts they play in this story.
There's the main character, Miriam. She's the moneylender's daughter. The dad likes to lend money, does not like to collect money. He's, I guess, just not tough enough to do so. She decides to take over the family business at a pretty young age.
She has to, because her father has gone into a business he can't actually do. He gives money and he gives the service. Oh, by the way, they're Jewish, in a town where that is not the norm and Jewish people are looked down upon. And then she's also a moneylender's daughter. She has to woman up. They're starving and her mother is very sick. So what are you going to do? And then Wanda is a farmer's daughter, and her father is one of those people who borrowed and did not pay. She comes into the picture when Miriam goes to collect and says, well, you're not going to pay. Your daughter's going to work off your debt.
And that's how the first two characters get brought together, which is kind of neat how that works out, because not only does Wanda come to work out her debt, she ends up becoming so much more to their family.
Wow. Yeah, she does not have a good home life. She was never more happy in her life than when she was allowed to leave to work off the family debt.
The other third main character would be Irina. She is the Duke's daughter. Unfortunately, her life isn't quite as pleasant as all the rest either.
Irina is set to trap the Tsar and marry him.
So what kind of reader would you recommend this book for?
Someone who likes to get lost in a story. Someone who enjoys fantasy, but doesn't need it to be shiny, happy fantasy every moment of the way through. Mm-hmm. It does have a resolved ending for each of the characters.
I will add that if you like retelling of folk tales, this is really interesting because in this setup, Miriam is actually a mirror to Rumpelstiltskin, which is a very interesting.
Ooh, weird.
Because she's so good at her job that she turns silver into gold.
Wow.
And that's actually a catch, because she is turning no money into silver, and she takes some of the silver to try and she's improving her family's fortunes.
Right.
And someone made the mistake of bragging Starrett characters could hear in the woods near their road that she could turn silver into gold.
Because she's a good moneylender, not because she's magic.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get into our game show portion of the evening. Maybe put in some cold, dramatic fantasy music. We'll have to find that one online somewhere. Do we have a casting of the main characters? There's a lot of them in here, but, you know, major people is fine.
Yeah, we do. Let's see. With Miriam, we decided to go with Mila Kunis.
Nice. Okay.
She's intense. She's pretty. She fits, I guess, the general characteristic.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure her mother is from Eastern Europe, too.
For Wanda, we thought Gwendolyn Christie. She is from Game of Thrones. She played Brienne of Tarth.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wanda is described as tall, long yellow braids, very strong. We thought Gwendolyn Christie could pull that off pretty well. So for Irina, we decided to go with Kristen Ritter. She was known for Breaking Bad. The character she played on that was Jane Margulis. And she's now playing the title character in Marvel's Jessica Jones.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to go to our rapid fire questions. We're going to give you each two questions, and then you can share a question to answer at the end.
So, Brandy, this one is for you. Was there any romantic subplot with any of the threads?
You know, there kind of was. Although you didn't want there to be any romance in the book, because that's just not for me. It was really sweet romance to it. These people that basically hated one another did kind of end up sweet towards the end.
What was the main character's biggest flaw? Cherie.
This story had a lot to do with consequences as well as actions and bettering your lot in life.
Mm-hmm.
So for Miriam, I'm going to probably go with pride.
Brandy, were there any animals in the book?
You know, there were not any really main character animals, but there was lots of goats and chickens. that's kind of how a lot of them survived. If you didn't have goats and chickens, you were definitely below the poor spectrum. Other than that would be the white animals, white rabbits, white wolves, just different white animals. And I would have liked to have definitely known more about those.
And Cherie, what was the emotional tone of the story?
I would say there was a lot of desperation in the story because circumstances were desperate for many of the characters for a bunch of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
but it wasn't hopeless desperation. For a lot of it, and there's hope that you're going to get past it, that you're going to overcome.
What food would you pair with the book? And you each have to give a unique answer. You can't both say the same thing.
Let's see.
And it doesn't have to be something that's in the book. It could be something that you're eating.
Lots of eggs and lots of goat.
Eggs and goat.
Good bread and butter and tea.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in on this one since I read it too. I'm going to say a very large bowl of like beef stew, like really hearty beef stew, just so I can be like, at least I'm not starving.
Nobody said like pierogies or any of that stuff.
I mean, come on. There's nothing that fancy okay. in here.
Yeah, there's lots of porridge and, you know.
Bread, porridge.
Eggs.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and read our random line from the book. You can go ahead and roll the dice.
So it's going to be page 6, paragraph 5. When he sat by the fire in the evenings, his hands were always working, whittling some new little toy for me or something for my mother. A decoration on a chair, a wooden spoon.
And which character was that?
That was Miriam.
Okay.
Speaking of her father.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.